Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
And I am so glad that all of my Sunday morning friends are joining us for one more terrific trek. We have had a wonderful time this week at Vacation Bible School, and I really, really love introducing my friends to my other friends. That is great. Now, you learn some really great Bible stories every single day at VBS, and you are going to help us share those Bible stories with our Sunday morning friends right here. So we are going to share the spotlight videos that you made all week, so you will get to see yourselves up on the big screen again, because every one of those videos tells a Bible story, and you helped act them all out. Now, my Sunday morning friends, you may be a little confused because you may not know that we spent all week imagining that we were on a wildlife safari in Africa. And we got to see several amazing animals and some really cool humans. And we got to celebrate how creative God is. God made humanity and all the other animals, and we all look and act differently, all of us everywhere. My favorite animal this week was my friend Leo the leopard. And Leo's not here today. Leo is off visiting some other leopard friends today, and I miss her. But just like we learned at VBS, even when our friends go somewhere else, God is good. Oh, you are on top of it. That's such good news, isn't it? You know, even more than meeting the animals, I really loved meeting some of the people who live in Africa. You got to meet several people in KidVid Cinema this week, right? Sometimes people in places like North America know a lot about the really cool animals that live in Africa and don't know as much about the people who live in the towns and cities in Africa. A lot of us don't know just how many of the people who live in Africa are Christians who worship God through Jesus just like we do right here at Covenant. In fact, there are more Christians in Africa than there are total people in the United States. There are 380 million Christians in Africa. That is more than on any other continent in the entire world. And African Christians read the same stories from the Bible as we do right here at Covenant. And God's Holy Spirit speaks to African Christians just like the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So we know that every Bible story tells us something new about the great big truth that no matter what, God is good. So we're going to think about some of the ways that we can remember that God is good no matter what, including some wisdom from our friends in Africa. So let's start by joining in prayer before we hear our first Bible story. God, your word teaches us that you are always good. Help us breathe in the breath of your Holy Spirit, and help us to hear you speaking in these stories from Scripture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first Bible story for today comes from the beginning of the book of Exodus.
Today, we explored a true story from the Bible. The Bible is God's word for us, you know. We traveled back in time to ancient Egypt. And let me tell you, it was hot. God's people, the Israelites, had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Their job was to make bricks for the Egyptians, It was hard, back-breaking work. The Egyptian guards were always yelling to hurry up and make more bricks. And did I mention that it was hot? The Egyptian sun was blinding. It was all so unfair.
This isn't fair. It's not fair at all.
This is so not fair.
But they know that when life is unfair, God is good.
Yeah! Yeah! Woo!
A man named Moses to go before Pharaoh and demand that he let God's people go. But Moses was scared. Moses told God, "I can't do it. I'm such a clumsy speaker. Please send someone else." So God told Moses that he could take his brother Aaron with him. They would both go before Pharaoh. But first, they told their people that God had seen their misery and was going to help. The people bowed down and worshiped God. Then Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh and told him to let God's people go. That made Pharaoh mad. He said, "Get back to work." In fact, Pharaoh was so mad that he took away the Israelites' straw and said they'd have to make just as many bricks as before. That was really unfair.
No straw?
That's unfair.
We can't make bricks with no straw.
The people had to work even harder. They had to make bricks with no straw. Life was even worse than before for the Israelites. And the people blamed Moses and Aaron.
Look what you've done. This is all your fault.
Moses went back to God and asked him what to do. God saw how unfair life was for his people, and he promised to make Pharaoh change his mind.
Yeah! Yeah! Woo! Yeah.
When life is unfair, God is good.
Well, life sure can be unfair, can't it? It can be unfair in great big ways, like in our Bible story about God's people being enslaved and forced to work for Pharaoh. It can be unfair in some smaller ways that maybe we're more familiar with, when we're left out of a game or other kids pick on us or our family doesn't have enough money. And sometimes we say unfair when we just mean, well, we really don't like that. But we know that unfair really means something big. Now, a lot of Christians in Africa have to deal with some big ways that life is unfair. Because we know that for a long time, European and American countries took wealth away from Africa. So we know from history about slavery, when people were taken away from Africa. We also know about colonization, when European countries tried to take over big parts of the continent of Africa. And that whole history took away a lot of natural resources and made some really unfair laws and made it so it's still hard today for a lot of communities to really thrive. But when Christians say God is good, we don't mean that life is fair. Instead, we know that the unfair parts of life are because of the way that people treat each other unfairly. People are often really unfair to each other, but God is always just. And when life is unfair, it helps to remind ourselves that the world won't always be like that, because when life is unfair, God is good. So our story from the Bible continued on our second night. Let's see what happens next.
It's time to look at today's totally true Bible story. Are you ready? Let's go! Remember, God's people were slaves in Egypt, making bricks in the hot sun. And Pharaoh refused to let them go. So God said he was going to send plagues on Egypt to make Pharaoh change his mind. Plagues are scary business. But we know that when life is scary, God is good. The first plague was a plague of blood. All the water in the Nile River turned to blood. The fish died and started to stink. So gross.
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, you did so bad.
So bad.
Pharaoh still said no. So God sent the second plague, a plague of frogs. Frogs were everywhere, in the houses, the ovens, even the beds. But Pharaoh was stubborn. So God sent the third plague, a plague of gnats. Gnats covered the Egyptians and their animals. Pharaoh still said no. So God sent a plague of flies. The flies buzzed into the houses and filled Pharaoh's palace. But no flies bothered God's people. Pharaoh said no again. So God sent a plague against the livestock. All the Egyptians' horses and cows and goats got sick and died. But the Israelites' animals were fine. Hard to believe, but Pharaoh still said no. So, God sent a plague of boils. Boils are yucky sores that itch and hurt.
Whoa, I need a back scratcher.
Oh, I can't stop itching. This is horrible.
When Pharaoh said no again, God sent a plague of hail. Hail struck down people, animals, and plants. Egypt was in ruins, except where God's people lived. Next came a plague of locusts. Locusts ate all the plants that hadn't been destroyed by hail. Not a single leaf was left on the trees and plants in Egypt. Yep. Pharaoh said no again. So this time, God sent a plague of darkness. For 3 days, it was so dark that the people of Egypt couldn't move. But there was light as usual for God's people. It must have been so scary for the Egyptians. They had been through 9 plagues already. And Pharaoh still wouldn't let God's people go. So, God sent the 10th and final plague, the scariest one of all. God said that in this last plague, he would kill all Egypt's firstborn sons, even Pharaoh's oldest son. God told his people to pack up and be ready to leave Egypt in a hurry. He told the families to each roast a special lamb and use the blood to mark their doorways. That way, the angel of death would know to pass over the houses of God's people. God's people huddled together in their houses. At midnight, the angel passed over the land, killing all the Egyptian firstborn sons. But God's people were safe. That very night, Pharaoh told the Israelites to get out of Egypt. They were finally free!
Yeah!
Remember,
when life is scary, God is good.
So we don't just say that God is good and then ignore what's unfair, right? We know that God is always working to make the world more fair and usually does that with our help. There were leaders in Africa who didn't only put up with all that unfair history that I talked about, but they said they want to make things better. A lot of them stood up just like Moses did to say God wants them to have freedom and safety and justice. They also were standing up for what's right. And that can be really risky and uncertain. It can be scary. You can worry that something worse could happen, but they did it anyway. So we get to celebrate African leaders like Desmond Tutu and Wangari Maathai and Paul Rusesabagina and John Garang and all these who worked for justice and peace. And they had to work when people were telling them no over and over again, working to keep unfair rules in place. They probably felt a lot like Moses and Aaron trying to talk to Pharaoh. And I can only imagine how scary it must have been for them. It took a lot of courage to stand up and keep working when life is really scary. And I think courage comes from remembering what we're working for. We keep imagining what justice and hope might look like. And that imagination helps us remember that when life is scary, God is good. And because God is so good, life doesn't stay the same. And that's what happens next.
Are you ready for today's true Bible story? Pharaoh had just told God's people to leave Egypt. To get out! So they did, but it wasn't long before they ran into trouble. They were camped by the Red Sea when they heard that Pharaoh had changed his mind about letting them go.
Pharaoh's coming!
Oh no!
We're trapped!
What could they do? They were trapped! It's not like they could swim across the Red Sea. Moses said, "Don't be afraid. Watch the Lord rescue you today." When Moses raised his staff, God parted the water so his people could walk through on dry land. It was a miracle.
Hurry, let's go.
This is amazing.
Look what God is doing.
After crossing the sea, Moses led God's people into the wilderness. Their lives were really changing, but trouble again. They traveled 3 whole days without finding water. They were so thirsty. Of course, the people blamed Moses. They mumbled and they grumbled and they complained.
We're thirsty. Moses, where are you taking us?
We're so thirsty.
They kept mumbling and grumbling, complaining and whining to Moses.
Moses, we're so thirsty.
Moses, we're tired.
Moses, do something.
Finally, they found water at a place called Marah. But the water was too bitter to drink. Yuck.
Ew.
The people were so upset that God told Moses to toss a piece of wood into the water. When he did, the water was suddenly good to drink. Another miracle. But soon the Israelites started complaining again. Moses, we're hungry. Moses, why are we stuck in this wilderness? Moses, we're going to starve. So God said he would give his people food. Every morning, God sent a strange food called manna. It covered the ground and tasted like honey wafers. Every evening, God sent birds called quail to eat. God's people went through a lot of changes in those 40 years. But God was always good, and He always took care of them. Remember,
when life changes, God is good.
Well, there was not a lot of grumbling or complaining this week at BS. The water always, the real life water, always tasted really good, not that imaginary water that tasted very bitter. And the snacks were always great, right? Even the new ones, the ones that maybe were unfamiliar combinations that you weren't used to before, because we know that those changes and all those new experiences, that's part of the fun at VBS when we're spending 1 week with a bunch of new ideas and new things. But the Israelites, they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and they had to walk to a new campsite every day, and it was constantly changing. That's a lot harder for us. And a lot of times we react to change just like those Israelites did. We find things to complain about, we find someone to blame, and a lot of times that's because we are scared or uncertain and we don't want to lose what we already had. Now, we don't always realize, those of us in North America, just how much Africa has changed in the last 60 or 100 years. And it's a lot like the changes that we are more familiar with here in North America. So, Sunday morning friends, I know that if I ask you to picture Africa, you might picture a rustic, undeveloped village. But did you know that today, about half of the people in Africa live in cities just like Des Moines? We call that urbanization. That's the great big word. And it's a huge change in how life works, moving into big cities. But we remember that when life changes, God is good. And one of the best ways to remember that comes from the story that we learned about the Israelites. Do you remember the Israelites got that strange food called manna every morning? They got it every single morning. And when life changes, it can help to pay attention to what God is providing today. Because what God provides today is most likely enough for today. And that's how God got those Israelites through the desert for 40 years, just one day at a time. Because when life changes, God is good. That story of the Exodus, that became the most important story for the Jewish people. It's the most important story today, and it was already at Jesus' time the most important story for the Jewish people. And they celebrated it every year with a special meal. And our next story begins at a Passover meal.
We've learned some incredible things about God's goodness this week. But today's totally true Bible story is the most important ever. It starts when Jesus was having dinner with his best friends, the disciples. Even though they were supposed to be his best friends, Jesus knew that one of them was going to betray him. After dinner, Jesus took a few friends to a garden where he could pray to his Father. Jesus prayed in the garden, even though he knew something terrible was going to happen to him there. Jesus knew he would be betrayed any minute, and after that, he would be arrested. He knew that after he was arrested, he'd be beaten and mocked. Crucified, nailed to a cross to die. Jesus' friends and family watched it happen. Can you imagine? They were so upset and sad. We all get sad sometimes, but we can remember that when life is sad, God is good. Jesus knew that we'd be sad sometimes. Jesus said,
"Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world."
Jesus has overcome the world. He was willing to die, to take the punishment for our sins, the wrong things we do. You know, sins are kind of like stones. Stones are usually kind of dirty. That's like sin. Sin makes our hearts dirty. And if our hearts are dirty, we can't be close to God. Sin separates us from God. Another thing about a stone is that it's hard. That's like sin, too. Sin can make our hearts hard. It can make us turn away from God. Imagine if you had to carry around a stone for every wrong thing you do. What if you had to carry the weight of every sin every day of your life? Imagine how heavy that would get. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sins. We don't have to carry them anymore. When Jesus died on the cross and came back to life, he defeated sin and death forever. When we believe in Jesus, he'll always be with us here on earth. And someday, we can live with him forever in heaven. Remember,
when life is sad, God is good.
So we know that the Passover is a celebration of being set free from slavery, and we know that the story of Jesus is the story of being set free from sin and the powers of death, and that is the very best news ever. And we know that that story got really sad before it became the great news that we know it is. I know people who weep every time they go to a Holy Week service and remember that story. But it's true, when life is sad, God is good. Because we know that God can turn any sadness into joy. Now, our last spotlight video celebrates how good God is, and it uses our theme song from the week to celebrate that. So it doesn't retell a whole story, because we know that retelling the story of how good God is, that gets to be our job. So here's the final slideshow video.
Get ready to sing!
Trusting you, God, you are good. Wherever you lead me, I'm
is good, God is good.
That's the easiest one to say, isn't it? When life is good, God is good, and the Bible tells us to remember that and to share that story. Do you remember the story when God's people finally made it all the way through the wilderness and they were getting ready to cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land? God said, "You need to remember everything that's happened for the last 40 years, and not just remember it, but tell it to each other." We get to share God's joy and God's goodness with each other.
And now, a moment for mission.
And our moment for mission celebrates our VBS mission partner, who is LSI, Lutheran Services of Iowa, Immigrant and Refugee Community Services. And Nancy Strutzenberg is here to talk to us about that wonderful mission partner. Nancy.
Good morning. If I knew all this was happening, I would have had a cool video and awesome dance moves, but I don't. As Pastor said, my name is Nancy Strutzenberg. I'm the Director of Philanthropy for LSI, Immigrant and Refugee Community Services. You may know LSI from programs such as foster care and adoption, services for people with disabilities, residential treatment services, and early childhood services. But today I'm here to talk about our services that we provide particularly to immigrants and refugees. LSI was founded over 150 years ago, I was not there, by immigrants from Germany, Sweden, and Norway in response to the needs of children and families that were orphaned by the Civil War. LSI has a long legacy of welcoming that began by resettling those displaced after World War II. Then in 1970, or in the 70s rather, Governor Reid made Iowa a leader in welcoming refugees to our state. Since then, we've seen various groups from around the globe successfully contribute to the vibrancy of our state and our local community. Thai Dam, Laotians, Vietnamese, Bosnians, Sudanese, Burundians, Congolese, and more recently, those from Afghanistan, Venezuela, and Ukraine now call Iowa home. All refugees are immigrants, but not all immigrants are refugees. So we hear those terms, and so let's talk about what they actually are. An immigrant, someone who comes to live permanently in another country. A refugee, someone who has been forced to flee their home due to war, persecution, or violence, and has been granted protection status under international law. Asylee, or asylum seeker, someone who is forced to flee their home and has asked for protection from another country, again, under international law. Special immigrant visa, sometimes called an SIV, that's someone who is in danger due to their affiliation with the U.S. military and has been granted protection by the U.S. government. And what we hear more commonly these days is parolee or humanitarian parolee. That's a special status that's been granted by the U.S. government to those from Afghanistan or Ukraine. So imagine this. What if you had to leave your home, your friends, your family, your country? What if you didn't know if you'd ever see them again? When someone comes to the U.S., we think they should be happy, now they're safe. But they may also feel grief and fear, loss and trauma. Individuals come here from around the globe, urban and rural areas. They have a wide variety of work and educational backgrounds. Some speak English fluently. Some speak several languages. Some only speak their native tongue. So let's imagine that we had to leave the U.S. and move to another country. You don't speak the language. The food's different. The climate's different. The customs are all new and all different. You need to find a job, someplace to live. Oh, and you don't know anyone. What would you feel? What would you want and need from your new community? You'd want someone to help you find doctors and grocery stores, places to worship, show you how to navigate the bus system, and ultimately help you to heal. With a full array of programs in education, workforce development, economic development, and family services, LSI is here to help. After a 10-year hiatus, LSI began resettling efforts in Des Moines in December of 2021 and in Sioux City in January of 2022. We pick newly arrived families up at the airport, find them housing, connect them with community services, help them find jobs, and get kids enrolled in school. We're there with English classes, financial literacy classes, therapy services, and cultural orientations. The U.S. system is based on self-sufficiency. Everybody that arrives in the United States is to be self-sufficient within 90 days. That's not possible. So we also have a whole series of post-resettlement services. I'm very proud to say that within 6 months, 80% of those we work with are financially self-sufficient, and 92% are self-sufficient in 8 months. In addition to those directly resettled by LSI in Des Moines and Sioux City, we also serve a large number of those resettled by the other three resettlement agencies in Des Moines. Since settling the initial Afghans, both offices have begun resettling refugees from other countries, including the Democratic Republic of Congo, Syria, Burma, Sudan, Guatemala, Somalia, Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, and Eritrea. In 2022, we welcomed 314 individuals, and we anticipate receiving 50 per month for the rest of 2023. We see the success of our new neighbors every day as they start businesses, purchase homes, become U.S. citizens, and contribute fully to our communities. I'd like to close with words from the song, All Are Welcome. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live, built of hopes and dreams and visions. All are welcome in this place. Thank you very much for having me today.
Thank you, Nancy. LSI Immigrant and Refugee Community Services has been our mission partner for VBS. We've collected money and material goods to support them all week. They are also our Coins for Concern partner this month, so any loose change in the offering plate today or any of the other Sundays this month all gets collected together also to go to LSI. Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.